Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Florida statute in section 45.062 requires agencies to provide the legislature written notice of any settlement payment. Did ACCA comply with that?
So the settlement agreement was not resulting of a civil action. I'm not an attorney, but I do know that it was a pre-suit settlement, and therefore the requirements in that statute did not apply.
All right, so this is at the Healthcare Budget Subcommittee meeting on Wednesday. This is the background to what Alex Andrade and I talked about on Friday, where this has become national news, massive statewide Florida news. Everybody is in a hubbub, and the governor's, the governor's office, basically, it looks like they're in sort of meltdown and cover mode and figure out what to do about all this. Although they are saying, okay, they are saying nothing inappropriate has happened here, and it's important to give everybody their fair version of the events. But you had the representatives of ACCA. The one you heard answering there was Siobhan Harris. She's the secretary of ACCA. She had to take over when her deputy, Secretary Brian Meyer, was completely flailing in his inability to answer the questions that Alex Andrade, the chief, chair of the committee, had been asking about this $10 million payment from Centene, okay, this healthcare organization, to Hope Florida, this direct support organization that does, well, we don't have a lot of documents on them, even though they've been operating for a while, and even though it's the governor's wife's initiative, Casey DeSantis' initiative, there's a lot of open questions about them. But in discovering that there had been overpayments made or inappropriate payments made by ACCA to Centene, then Centene got negotiated with and they gave $57 million back to ACCA, Agency for Healthcare Administration, the government, and then $10 million in a side payment to Hope Florida. And Allison Tant, a Democrat on the committee, is asking this question. Well, hey, you have to report all of this stuff, and you guys didn't report the $10 million. There's no accounting of it. It didn't come back to us. We're supposed to have oversight of money, all of that. And her answer, Siobhan Harris's answer, is we don't have to. That wasn't a payment. It went directly to them, and it wasn't a lawsuit settlement. It was a pre-lawsuit. Like, nobody filed a lawsuit. We were just figuring out how to find them. And a key thing in all of this was...
I'm not an attorney, but I do know that.
Come up previously where her answer to Alex Andrade about how can you legally do this shoveling of money on a side payment to Hope Florida, her answer was...
I know a lot of lawyers were involved in the drafting of the settlement agreement.
So this is not a great answer. So she has told Allison Tant that they don't really have to account for this because it wasn't an actual civil lawsuit. And since it's not an actual civil lawsuit settlement... it doesn't come under that particular statute. And Alex Andrade, who is a lawyer.
45.062, subparagraph 5 is clear. When a state agency or officer settles any action, which this wasn't, it was pre-suit, or legal claim, which this was.
Because they could have, right, sued. It could have, like, it's a legal infraction, okay? A violation of the contract, I presume, maybe be the most technical way to say it. But they didn't get to that point, but it's still a legal settlement matter.
Or legal claim, which this was, in which the state asserted a right to recover money, all monies paid to the state by a party in full or partial exchange for release of the state's claim, shall be placed in the general revenue fund or the appropriate trust fund. That $10 million was state money that should have come back. I just want to make that clear. That wasn't a question. That was a statement.
So the ACCA chief's position, Sean Harris, is... well, we didn't have to do what you're saying because it never came back to the state. And his answer is, it should have. That's the point.
Any monies owed to the state were paid back to the state. This entity, Centene, made a separate contribution to the foundation. That was not money paid to the state.
But they just, like, up and volunteered $10 million as part of a settlement just because they're nice people?
ACCA did not transfer money to the foundation.
We're aware. Secretary, I have the settlement pulled up. The settlement was for $67 million. ACCA decided, as part of this settlement, to say, send us $57 million. Send Hope Florida $10 million. Without any discussion with any policymaker in the legislature, which is required, we're required to be informed of this.
They're the ones who oversee things like, you know, budgets and millions or tens of millions of dollars.
These are taxpayer funds, Secretary. Every dollar that goes to these plans are taxpayer funds.
Again, Mr. Chair, I think we have come up here. This meeting was noticed not even to talk about Hope Florida. I've made myself available to answer any questions that you have. I think dutifully, faithfully answered your questions. The settlement agreement was negotiated by lawyers. I'm not a lawyer. I cannot get into the specifics beyond what I have answered.
It looked like a creative way to try and, without oversight, send $10 million of taxpayer funds to Hope Florida. And again, we invited ACCA here to talk about the new contract. And the new contract appears to have forced Hope Florida into it at the very last moment, to the point where there are typos in the state's largest contract, not contemplating just how many paragraphs might be in because of how many Hope Florida references were last minute injected into this contract.
And that's true, too. And, you know, I'm not a lawyer, but this was done by lawyers, therefore it's okay.
The settlement agreement was negotiated by lawyers. I'm not a lawyer.
And woe is us. We came here. We didn't even get invited to this. We just saw it as a public notice and thought maybe we ought to be here. And here we are, not answering the questions that you say you're answering. We'll come back to this in a second. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
I hope her deodorant was working really good that day, buddy.
Man, this was rough to watch. This was like... You know, you ever watch a cross-exam or a grilling?
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, surely it's got to get better. No, this continued to get worse the whole time.
Oh, my goodness. All right, so traffic on the fives. We've got a vehicle accident with injuries and roadblock on Highway 29 northbound and East Kingsfield Road. If you're heading southbound on 29, just south of Kingsfield Road all the way to Roberts Road, I'm seeing some delays there, about a 10 to 15-minute delay, but just be aware that that accident's there. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Everything else looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. If you're thinking about getting a vehicle, want to figure out what is the best one to get, or even, you know, you want to answer questions like, okay, we got all these tariffs, the tariff hokey pokey right now. Where do the tariffs stand? What does that mean for a used car? Well, it means nothing for a used car because it's only on new cars. Shifting in demand between new and used, right? Imported, non-imported. That's actually something that's likely to have an effect on all used car selling and buying. So you want to know how that's going to work or what they think or what they're seeing already? Call Frontier Motors and ask them. Ask them what they're seeing. Ask them whether it's urgent to buy a car or whether you should wait a month or what they think is going on in the market, because they can help you figure that out. And also, obviously, they have a massive selection of good quality used cars. And, you know, if you're in the market, they've got a lot of options. And if they don't have exactly what you want, they can go looking for you. They do that for people all the time. If you have a car to sell, they can sell it. Either sell it to them or sell it through them. Either way, they can take care of you. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. All right, back to this conversation at the healthcare budget subcommittee meeting that Alex Andrade is the chair of, the largest silo of money in the budget. And we're talking, I think it's $53 billion, something like that. Okay, so, you know, oversight matters, and they have found this completely squirrely $10 million side bet payment to Hope Florida from Centene, a provider.
What I'm trying to understand is why ACCA felt it could contractually obligate Centene as part of a legal claim with the state to direct $10 million from Centene to also go to Hope Florida. That is a fair question that I've not got a response to.
I think we've answered.
You haven't.
I will say, as a neutral observer in this, you definitely haven't answered.
Because I still have no idea why this was justified. I have very strong beliefs that this was not legal. And I have no idea, despite y'all's heavy involvement with Hope Florida over the past several years at DCF, what that money was going to be used for.
Yeah, what I mean, if Hope Florida is worthy of getting a $10 million side payment, we ought to maybe at least have criteria, programs, goals, objectives that justify or work available to fund with that $10 million. And that stuff is also pretty hazy.
And work with the Hope Navigator to help support that individual get back on their feet.
She was telling this, like, one person help story, you know, which in the context of what's going on here was very counterproductive, because I'm asking you about $10 million, and you're like, well, we got this one person helped. Okay, it's not that we don't believe Hope Florida never does anything good, or that, you know, ACA and DCF and these various agencies don't do anything good. It's just not the point.
Until the school year started again.
A laudable cause.
Exactly.
What are y'all doing with the $10 million?
That is a question for the foundation. They are the
That's
ones
a question for ACA. They directed the payment.
The payment was made by Centene to the foundation. Where the money went is a question for the foundation.
Why did ACA think that was a good expense of taxpayer dollars?
Again, it's a question for the foundation in terms of how they are using the money to enhance strategic partnerships to meet the mission.
Don't ask us. We didn't spend the money. It didn't even come to us. It, you know, we arranged in the settlement that they would pay for it. So don't ask us. We don't know. Well, why did you make it happen? Why did you arrange to have this payment? Was that within the law to have an off-the-book side payment? And what were you getting for that money? Well, it's not up to us. It's up to them. It's, like I said, it kept getting worse.
I know ACA doesn't think much of maybe losing $160 million one week, but $10 million is a lot of money to regular Floridians.
At some point, ACA
thought it was in ACA's best interest, as part of the fiduciaries for the state, to direct $10 million of taxpayer money as part of a settlement to go to this DSO, a black hole apparently, and ACA can't tell me why that was justified. That was a policy decision made by ACA that I believe was illegal. That was a policy decision made, and what I'm hearing from the Secretary of ACA is we have no idea what that money was to be used for, and we have no idea why we did it. That's not acceptable, Secretary.
Mr. Chair, I think it's unfortunate that we are succumbing to some of these unfortunate attacks.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Okay. I think there's so much more to this story. Let me, because I know we're going to talk about this again at the top of the 7 o'clock hour, but let me give you one more. This is in case you think it's all Alex. It's not all Alex. You've had other legislators weighing in here. Allison Tan, Deborah Tendrich is a Democrat.
Did you have any requirements to even show that Hope Florida was responsible enough to receive a $10 million out of that settlement? Were there any requirements, prerequisites to even know that that agency was even able to even fulfill $10 million worth of services or anything to make sure that they receive funds?
Again, the settlement agreement was had a lot of attorneys involved, taking great care to make sure that everything was done appropriately.
It's all fine. There were lots of attorneys.
The settlement agreement was had a lot of attorneys involved.
This is like the third, maybe, or fourth time she's run this defense. Don't ask me, magic wand of attorneys. Everything's fine. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so this was the story on Wednesday. We talked to Alex on Friday. And then the governor has responded and said that everything is fine here. There's nothing to see here. And, you know, DeSantis says that it was 100% appropriate, part of a good deal the state negotiated with Centene. But let me just read to you a little bit from the Times-Herald Tallahassee newspaper, just so you, like, get the follow-up on this, because it's the end. What happens next in the investigating here that is even worse? Weeks after, I'm reading here from the article by Lawrence Mower and Alexandra Glorioso. Weeks after the DeSantis administration steered $10 million from a Medicaid settlement to a charity spearheaded by the First Lady, the Hope Florida Foundation sent $5 million apiece to two separate organizations that gave millions to a political committee waging an anti-marijuana campaign championed by the governor. This is all last fall, October. The payments, laid out in campaign finance records and documents released to the Times-Herald by the foundation Friday, raise questions about whether the DeSantis administration diverted Medicaid dollars through Casey DeSantis' key initiative to a political campaign. The $10 million deriving from a settlement with Centene, the state's largest Medicaid contractor, was split evenly between Secure Florida's Future, that's one organization, run by the Florida Chamber of Commerce, and Save Our Society from Drugs, a second organization, a drug prevention nonprofit. The committee sent $8.5 million that October to keep Florida clean. So five and five went to the committees, and then $8.5 million went from them to keep Florida clean. A political committee controlled by DeSantis's then chief of staff, James Uthmeyer, now the attorney general. The committee was created to defeat Amendment 3, the failed ballot initiative that tried to legalize recreational marijuana. It's not clear how much of the $10 million Centene paid to Hope Florida Foundation ended up in bank accounts for either the Republican Party of Florida or the Florida Freedom Fund. It is difficult, if not impossible, to track how dollars are spent as they move between political committees. But it sure looks to me, as just an outsider civilian, okay, that somebody figured out a way to chop $10 million off of a settlement with Centene and send it to Hope Florida, to send it to two committees, to send it to a political action committee who is going to argue against the marijuana amendment. And none of that is appropriate. Like, that's the problem. Now, again, they say everything was fine. They say the money wasn't spent that way. Nothing to see here. No problem. Everything's fine. It's up to you to decide what you think, and I think it will ultimately be up to the investigators to decide what they think. 625 on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens, that's Traffic on the Five. John, you're an accounting guy.
Right.
Sniff good or sniff bad to you?
Oh, this is sniffing really bad. Yes. I'm just like, oh, I bet she was squirming in her chair because, man.
Yeah. All right, tell them about the roads.
$10 million. Yeah, that's chump change. All right, so we are back rolling accident-free right now. I-10, I-110 are actually looking good. See some minor slowdowns just east of the Navarre Beach Bridge just due to congestion. But other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Splash Magazine covers the coast like the Gulf of Mexico. Each month, Splash Magazine offers a calendar of events, plus tips on where to shop, dine, and play. Learn about the month's special events, live entertainment, and interesting local people. Learn how to catch fish with Captain Dave Yelverton. See what is worth watching on your streaming services. Tom Nolan will tell you the latest. Get the most out of the Emerald Coast by reading Splash Magazine each month. For more information, call Gulf Breeze News at 850-932-8986 or visit gulfbreezenews.com online.
Oh no, stomach issues again?
Stomach issues?
Who are you?
Your pancreas. I could be the real reason for your diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools.
I thought it was my stomach.
People often do, but any of these symptoms could mean having a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and speak with your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
It's spring at Anderson Subaru, the perfect time to refresh your ride. With 3.9% for 63 months on 2025 Subaru Outback models, or get 3.9% for 48 months on 2025 Forester models and 2025 Crosstrek models. At Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Subaru for you, Subaru for you. Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
He chose poorly.
Good morning, 628 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, President Trump says he'll be announcing tariff rates on imported semiconductors this week. There could be some flexibility, he said.
We wanted to uncomplicate it from a lot of other companies because we want to make our chips and semiconductors and other things in our country.
That from Air Force One yesterday. Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick also said semiconductors wouldn't be included in the tariff exemptions announced last week for electronics. Trump's reciprocal tariffs currently include 125% on Chinese goods. Beijing has matched that on U.S. imports to their country. Authorities have released the names of six people killed in a plane crash in New York State on Saturday. Apparently, those victims include a MIT soccer player in 2022, NCAA Woman of the Year Karina Groff, her boyfriend, and Recent MIT graduate James Santoro also died in that crash, along with a few other family members. Pope Francis made a surprise appearance in St. Peter's Square on Palm Sunday. The Pope wished a happy Holy Week to the crowd of more than 20,000 after the conclusion of their Sunday Mass.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 629 here on News Radio 92.3. Buying or selling a home or just have questions about real estate, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty can certainly help you with that. Last year, they sold us 165 homes. The year before that, 175. When it was easy, when everybody was selling home, you know, put up a sign, sold the home. They were selling well over 200 homes a year, so they know. They have experience. And so she can answer your questions. You know, what's going on with home prices? What's going on with people's willingness to sell or not? I was listening to her on Pep Talk the other day, and she was saying, you know, for a while there, it was you had to work real hard, you know, to get deals. It's starting to return to the multiple offers stage right now. How are tariffs affecting that? How is uncertainty about the economy affecting that? Or is it? I mean, she can tell you. And she can help you figure out, you know, can you make money on a rental if you're thinking about acquiring one? Is it a good time to buy a beach house if you've been thinking about that kind of thing? So buying, selling, or just have questions, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, 723-9158.
Angelosi, a 38-year-old man from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, has been arrested for allegedly setting fire to the governor's mansion as Governor Josh Shapiro and his family slept.
Police now have 38-year-old Cody Ballmer in custody. Governor Shapiro and his family were celebrating the first night of Passover just hours before the arson. Shapiro says they woke up at 2 a.m. to banging on their door and a state trooper telling them to leave immediately.
That's Fox's Madison Scarpino. Ballmer was charged with attempted murder, arson, and terrorism. Rory McIlroy earning the coveted green jacket at the Masters yesterday.
To think that I'm up here wearing one of those green jackets is, honestly, it's a dream come true. Like, my dreams have been made today.
Sound courtesy of the Masters, McIlroy, who finished at 12 under par, became only the sixth man ever to complete the career Grand Slam. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 52 degrees. It is clear this morning, and it looks like the sun will be shining. Florida House Budget Chairman Lawrence McClure is requesting documents from six state agencies regarding government spending. The inquiry, initiated by House Speaker Daniel Perez, highlights issues like missing state vehicles and salaries of agency leaders living out of state, along with a controversial $10 million donation from Centene to the Hope Florida Foundation linked to First Lady Casey DeSantis. McClure says there's a need for accountability as lawmakers prepare for upcoming budget negotiations. The agencies have until May 16th to respond, although the information may not be available in time for the ongoing budget negotiations. Pensacola police have a new four-legged officer. Canine Jet has joined the force. He's a 16-month-old Chesapeake Bay Retriever who specializes in explosives detection. Jet was purchased in partnership with the Pensacola Airport. He'll be on the job there, ensuring the safety of travelers headed to and from the area. PPD says Jet is also their unofficial chief emotional support officer for staff and visitors at the airport. Well, one of the Escambia Sheriff's Foundation's biggest fundraisers of the year is now in the books. The Cops, Cars, and Crawfish event was held Saturday at Five Flags Speedway. That had a car show with both vintage and new vehicles. Of course, there's a lot of food there. Crawfish provided by Cubs. The event raises money for key Sheriff's Office programs like the Blazer Academy, Dream Big, and their regular movie nights. Some new life-saving devices installed on Pensacola Beach recently. 40 new rescue tubes were put in by the Gulf Breeze Rotary Club. The tube is a portable flotation device that anybody on shore can throw to a struggling swimmer. There were already five of them on the beach. Seven more have now been installed. Well, for spring breakers, the good times might be over in Bay County. Panama City Beach Police Chief J.R. Talamantes posting a message to Facebook over the weekend in response to gun crimes committed in Panama City during spring break. Talamantes writes that Panama City Beach can no longer be a spring break town. He said that time is over. They're going to be having serious discussions with stakeholders and city leadership about the future of the spring break season. Talamantes wrote, quote, To the good visitors, you're always welcome. To the idiots, go somewhere else. Well, there's a big turnout downtown Pensacola yesterday for the Fred Levin Way Festival. That event aims to give back to those in need. There were vendors giving out many different types of items to those in need, such as diapers and kids' toys, toiletry items, soaps and such. Vendors lined Palafox and Government Streets. Items were given out by at least 65 different nonprofit organizations. 635 at News Radio 92.3. John's got our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still rolling accident-free right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are looking good. This traffic report is brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. It is going to be a beautiful sunny day today with temperatures near 78 degrees for your high. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 62. Keeping that nice weather around for your Tuesday with a high near 80 degrees. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 65. Nice and mostly sunny on Wednesday with a high near 75 and a low near 66 degrees. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, we've got clear skies. It is 52 in Pensacola, 58 reported in Gulf Breeze, 53 in Milton. Your next news at 7 o'clock and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Treasury yields fell this morning as investors weighed a surprise tariff exemption after a wild week of trading in the bond market. The benchmark 10-year Treasury was down nearly 5 basis points at 4.444%. Pfizer said it would end development of its experimental daily weight loss pill after a patient experienced a liver injury that was potentially caused by the drug in a trial. The patient's liver enzymes recovered rapidly after they stopped taking the pill, which is an oral GLP-1 drug called danuglipron. CBS News reports President Trump's approval ratings on the economy and inflation have fallen after weeks of tariff policy twists. The CBS News survey found 44% approved of Trump's handling of the economy and 40% approved of his handling of inflation, both down 4% from March 30th. Futures are sharply higher as Trump's tech tariff pause raised tech stocks. On Friday, the Dow Industrials gained 619. That's Your Money Now.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Izervay or avacincaptad pegol is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
Bands on the Beach is back. So bring a lawn chair or a towel and get ready to enjoy live music at the stage on Pensacola Beach. There's plenty of room to spread out and enjoy the sand, the sunset, and great live music each and every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. This week, the Disco Kiss will be taking the stage, playing the best songs from the biggest bands of the 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000s. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair, but don't bring any pets or glass. Stop by the Cat Country Tent. It's Bands on the Beach every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion.
Ready for intelligent and thought-provoking conversation? Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Guy Benson, the brilliant and charismatic host, brings you a fresh perspective on the biggest stories of the day. Guy keeps you engaged and informed. Don't miss out on the intellectual thrill ride. Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola from 2 till 4 p.m. It's the show that'll challenge your thinking and leave you wanting more. On News Radio Pensacola.
And all the girlies say I'm pretty fly for a white guy. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro.
single sis.
You know. Good morning, 6:39 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Ben Scola Morning News. John and I had an opportunity to do something pretty, well, for both of us, it was really wild and amazing. And
oh, yes.
We got to be on the bridge of a 50,000-ton cargo vessel as it was departing the port of Pensacola, going out to the pass under the direction of the harbor pilot, Matt Maelstrom, who's going to be on with us in an hour. And it was a Saudi flagged ship, the Bahri Tabuk. It brings in the components for the nacelles for the GE turbines that we assemble here in Pensacola and then ship off to parts everywhere.
And, you know, I have a more respect for those oversized loads that are coming down Scenic Highway,
God, yeah,
or all that. I have a much bigger respect for that now. I'm like, I'm out of the way, bro, because those things are so huge.
Right. Because you saw the importance of those, or because you got an experience of how difficult some of these navigational elements are on the sea, therefore it translated to on the land?
That's both.
Okay, yeah, I agreed. So this roll-on, roll-off, which means it's a container ship, is what you would think of. It's just not one of those, and there were, like, you know, hundreds of containers up on the top, and still lots of space on there, too. It travels this whole worldwide route between, it goes from here to Houston to Wilmington to, like, Baltimore to Europe and China, and travels all over the world. It's kind of like this bus route, basically, on the water, which has been, by the way, over the years, that's been one of the changes in my thinking is, I always have thought of water as a barrier, mm-hmm, because you need a bridge to get across water, okay? People who are, you know, merchant mariners or people who deal with boats all the time, to them, water is a highway without lane markings. Although, you know, some portions have lane markings like channels, but, you know, generally speaking, it's just a giant open field and you can drive wherever you want. And so water is a mechanism of transportation rather than an impediment to it. And, you know, getting my brain turned in that direction is, because I'm not a boat person particularly, thinking that way is interesting. I shot a whole video. It was about an hour long. So if you really want to get a sense of what it's like to captain a vessel off of the port, through the channel, turning, past Naval Base, past Fort Pickens, you know, flipping at 90 degrees south and heading out the pass, there's a video for that. You can watch it. And from the bridge, you know, if you've been on a cruise ship, you've kind of experienced this on the side, but you've probably never been up on the bridge where you're hearing them, you know, issue points of compass commands, rudder commands, you know, how fast to go. Watching tugboats try to draw a 50,000-ton container ship off of it being basically stuck to the port of Pensacola in 20-knot winds, because that's basically a giant sail pushing north and the tugs are trying to draw it south. Like, that's not easy, you know, very, very difficult. Anyway. Some things that came up in this conversation, one of the boards that I noticed had a whole series of markings on it, because we were up in the bridge with the permission of the captain, who's from Poland, and the first mate, who was from Oman, and the I don't know what his technical name was, but he was driving the ship. You know, he was from the Philippines. And so all of these people speak like four languages, five languages. It's always funny to me, you know, Americans who speak one language tend to judge people who are from foreign nations and they speak English at, like, you know, maybe the 7th or 8th grade level or maybe the 5th grade level, and you judge them when that's like their fourth language.
Right, yes.
And there was one little moment where the guy who was driving the ship, he actually, he answered Matt inadvertently in French. You know, Matt's calling out point of compass directions, and he's saying, you know, come about 170, 170, aye, sir, 170's achieved, very well. And at one point he said, you know, très bien. And I know it was just a mental slip because he's used to working through all these different languages, but I thought it was adorable evidence of the extreme level of education that most people not in America actually have. Anyway, one of the things is this board that had basically a series of data about the ship, like a little whiteboard where it was, you know, stuff was scribbled on there. And some of what was scribbled on there were things like, what's the draft on the ship, which is the depth of the ship at the moment below the water to the bottom of the ship. And it was 8 meters. Okay. So that's, you know, 24 feet, 25 feet, something like that. Midships, it was 8.1, and aft, it was 8.3. So the boat's not evenly in the water. It's heavier in the butt than in the front. Okay. If you want to think of it that way. And then, so you have to think about that because, you know, it's not the shallowest point, it's the deepest point when you're navigating the channel, which is 33 feet deep. So you've got not a lot of clearance, you know, 5, 6 feet, something like that. And if the waves are moving up and down, that reduces your clearance level. Also, you're trying to stay in that trench, so to speak, in the water, which on either side has the dredge spoil that the Army Corps pulls out periodically. So it really is a valley in the bay that they're driving through. And, you know, you're trying to stay in that channel while you're being buffeted around by wind and waves and, you know, just your own driving. And also it happened to be a flood, so the water is coming in at that time during the day. And then there's also an airdraft one. And airdraft is the height above the water vertically. So 41.9 meters is what it was. So around 125 feet or so, something like that. And, you know, I hadn't thought much about that because going from the port to the pass, there's nothing over your head. It's not got a clear 3 mile bridge. The port's on the clean side of 3 mile bridge. It doesn't have to clear the I-10 bridge, obviously. But if you've ever ridden out of Jacksonville and stood on the bow.
Oh, yes.
And you feel like it's not just going to hit the ship, it's going to hit you in the head because that's your sense of proportions. Well, they have to deal with that all the time. Now, the audio here may not be great. If it doesn't work out, I'm going to stop playing it. But I was actually talking about that with Matt while he was, you know, he was kind of captaining the ship, even though he wasn't the captain, right? He's the harbor pilot. His job is to tell them point by point how to get out of this very difficult parking lot that is sort of metaphorically what the bay operates as for them. Actually, I'll come back to that in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to let you know about. Still dealing with a little backup on 98 eastbound just east of Navarre Beach Bridge through the Windhaven Beach area. That's just due to congestion. Playing an extra 5 to 7 minutes with that I-10. I went to look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
All right. Thanks so much, John. Okay, so Alex, I'm going to try to play this. I think it'll be okay. But, John, you're my second ears. You tell me if this doesn't really work on the radio. This is us up in the bridge of the Barrio Tobuk with Matt Milestrup. He is the harbor pilot. And so he's the one guy whose job is to bring big ships in and out. That's his job.
So now they've got to either load more cargo or ballast to get... Yeah, they even have to lower their
mast. Wow.
We're talking about the air draft. We're talking about they might have to bring on cargo to push the boat down in the water to get under bridges like going into Houston.
Talking about how navigating through the bridge overhead in Houston creates a challenge for them. Here they have to worry about below the keel. Is that what that air draft number is for? Okay.
That's exactly what it is. Here, I don't have to worry about that.
Because they don't navigate under bridges.
I'll tell you, when I was with the Eagle, the sailing ship.
Remember the Coast Guard Eagle, the training ship, the big sail ship that they bring in? And he's a retired commander in the Coast Guard.
We clear bridges by 6 inches to a foot. And
wow.
It's 135. The standard height for bridges in the world is 135 feet. That's designed by design. Mm-hmm. Eagle was 133, and some debate on how many inches, 7 inches, 3 inches, 5 inches. Like,
yeah, it's good to be uncertain.
Yeah, a couple inches matters.
Yeah.
But every time, I mean.
We think it's this high. We're probably good. Oh, by the way, Captain, he was an 06. I demoted him in retirement to a commander. My apologies. But yeah, all the little pieces of that they have to think about. And this, for people who are accustomed to large ships, I know what I'm saying is kind of, you know this already. For people who don't, if you've ever ridden a jet ski, what's the rule with the jet ski is you lose your turning if you turn the power off, right? It's the power is the steering, okay? Not the same in a big vessel. But what you notice on a jet ski is zig, zag, fast, move. And like, you think it, you go, right? You're on a little bit bigger ship or a little bit or a boat, okay? And let's say it's a, 15-foot fishing boat, something like just a little whatever. Still pretty maneuverable. But when you're coming into the dock, or positioning it around, like to put it on your trailer, it takes a little bit of thinking ahead, right? Because it doesn't just immediately, it's not like a car, right? Things move around you in the water, okay? Then think about a larger boat, 30 feet, 35 feet, something like that. Same problem, bigger scale. You've got to think ahead, right? You've got to plan ahead. Your momentum is a big part of what you do, and you can't hit the brakes so easily. I mean, you can if you're moving forward and back, you can hit it in reverse, but still, it doesn't stop immediately. But boats are a challenge to work with. They're not like cars. I'm a car guy, okay? Now think of a 50,000-ton You know, yeah, it's only going 5 knots in the first leg or, up to 10 or 11 knots as it's going around out the pass. But if you want to turn that thing 90 degrees, you have to think ahead a long way, and you have to plan ahead, and you have to, every time it's a little different because the road's not constant, right? The road shifts and the road is higher or lower and different winds and different, it's, and it's not a very wide channel from your perspective. When you're in a little 30-foot boat, and I say little because by comparison, the channel markers, the buoys seem massively separate from each other. When you're in this, I don't know, I need to look it up what the width of that ship is, but what'd you say, 150 feet? I'm guessing, like just eyeball guessing. There's not a lot of room on either side. You got to be pretty accurate. And so the one thing I came away from this with, John, you tell me what you think, is immense respect for what they do in routinely difficult circumstances. And this was a day transit. Do it at night in choppy. And we had 5 to 6 foot waves. That was fun getting on the pilot boat. But, you know, the significance of even the limited amount of traffic that we have to the port, to our economy, is immense. And the necessary elements that make that all function from the what you'd call the longshoremen, the stevedores, from the space at the port, from scheduling the different ships and their arrivals and departures and how long it takes to load and unload, and then thinking about things like the depth of the channel, the draft of the boat, the, you know, the speed, turning, aligning it with the channel. Every part of it is amazing. And you never think about it. You know, most people know trucking is important. Most people, maybe not as many, know that railroads are important. But we do get some things by ship. You know, like a massive amount of our economy depends on shipping traffic. And we just got a little tiny taste of what it's like to see that happen. John, you want to add anything at the moment? Anything that stuck out to you or that you were amazed by or it learned?
Yeah, wow, there was so much. I mean, just watching it all take place with this big, giant ship. I mean, it's like, you know, turn a little here. Now we need to adjust for the wind and the water and all. It just was amazing.
And
I never thought about all of that.
Right. And there are visual markers they can use for the channel, mm-hmm. of course. There are highly accurate GPS maps, of course. But if every, and there's buoys, okay, to mark it, you know. And it's part of like the U.S. Coast Guard cutter Cypress that sits center point at the Blue Angel show, the big black hull that's off the NAS Pensacola. Their job literally is to make sure that the buoys are in proper shape around all of these different channels in our area, in this region. But like Matt's job is to have the channel and the bay and the port and the pass memorized. Like he has to have it memorized. That's part of his job, is to have it memorized so that he can navigate this under the worst possible conditions if everything goes wrong. Because in a certain way, you know, the only thing between him and a beached 50,000-foot vessel that gets out of the channel by 100 feet is his head and the GPS and the tablets and the, but the, it's really his brain. And that's kind of amazing. 652 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are a business owner, and by the way, there's a whole video on this up on our Facebook page if you want to see it, News Radio 92.3. And we're going to talk to Matt in about an hour and find out from his perspective a whole bunch of other elements of this significance of, you know, merchant mariners and maritime traffic and the port and shipping and all that. Anyway, if you have a company, you have employees, you have to deal with benefits, health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, human resource management, you got to do payroll. And if you love that stuff, I mean, more power to you. That's great. You're weird, but that's great, okay? If it's all working well, also great. If any part of that gives you fits or like me talking about it is making your eye twitch because you know you got to go into work this morning and deal with that stuff, hey, call Torgus and Causey. You know, stop your eye twitching. You know, go to Torgus and Causey. They're a great local comprehensive benefits, employee benefits agency. They've been around for more than 2 decades. They've been helping us here at News Radio in Cat Country for about 4 years. We love them. They're great. My wife, who is an industrial engineer, that means numbers and efficiency is her thing, and she approves of them. She asks detailed questions. They give good answers. Not every insurance folks do. They really, really do. So we love them. 433-9996 for Torgus and Causey, or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware and Hall's Hardware in Milton on News Radio 92.3.
News Radio Pensacola has a team of experienced and award-winning journalists dedicated to bringing you the most accurate and up-to-date news coverage. Informative, local, dependable.
You better stop eyeballing me, boy. You're not worthy enough to look your superiors in the eye. Use your peripheral vision. Understand?
Oh, and the Coke cans were from Saudi Arabia. And the water bottles were from Saudi Arabia. I've never yet, before that, I had never had an Arabic imprinted Coca-Cola. It was kind of a weird shape, too. It was more of like an energy drink size. So just weird, you know, odd little things. And when the guy from Oman offers to make you coffee, you say yes, because it's going to be great coffee. John and I had a chance to ride out on the Bahr Tubak, a Saudi-flagged shipping container vessel a couple of weeks ago with the port cap, the harbor pilot, and great experience. Like I said, the video's up on our Facebook page if you want to watch it. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Just some minor delays on 98 eastbound, just east of Navarre Beach Bridge. But other than that, traffic is rolling good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. I always figure that part of my job, as I see it, you know, part of my job is to read the news and explain the news, and part of my job is to entertain, and part of my job, frankly, is to go out and experience things that are important that maybe not everybody has a chance to experience, and then I can share that experience with you so that you know more about what's going on in the world and our community. And, you know, that's what this was to me. This reminds me of something that, you know, Matt, who's a harbor pilot, very eager to get us out on a boat. We were trying to do this for like 6 months.
Yes,
just scheduling was really difficult to do. Because he wants to get the message out. He wants to get people informed. He wants people to know about this dimension of our life, maritime life, right? And which I appreciate that. He's an evangelist for this kind of cause. The exact opposite, I remember with Skanska particularly. And I know Skanska since has become, you know, this like swear word. Okay. But early on when they were even just demolishing the bridge and getting ready to build the new bridge, I approached them multiple times like, you know what you guys should do is you're building this stuff and people think it's interesting. You should come on the show once a month and just have your engineer come on the show or the project manager and we'll talk about what they're seeing so people understand this is what goes into this. This is how you build this. This is why it's the same, you know, all that. And they never would. And I literally told them, I said, okay, number one, this would be good radio. Number two, it'd be great PR for you guys. People would love to hear from you about what's happening. I said, and number three, and I literally told them this, I said, if God forbid anything ever goes wrong, at least the people will know you and they've heard from you and there's a relationship there.
And sure enough.
Oh.
Boy.
Dudes. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David, missed opportunity. David?
Well, the Trump administration continuing to fight court rulings that they have to return a Maryland man accidentally deported to a prison in El Salvador. In a court filing on Sunday, the Department of Justice said the courts have no authority to force the administration to seek the return of Kilmar Abrego Garcia. The Supreme Court ordered that the administration facilitate his release, but didn't give a timetable last week. A Wisconsin teenager charged with killing his mother and stepfather allegedly had plans to kill President Trump. Investigators say they believe the 17-year-old killed his parents to obtain the financial means to carry out that plan. He killed them last February, eventually stealing the family's car and driving through multiple states before being arrested in Kansas. And Rory McIlroy won the Masters on Sunday to become the sixth player in history to complete a Grand Slam. He defeated Justin Rose in a one-hole playoff. He joins Gene Sarazen, Ben Hogan, Gary Player, Jack Nicklaus and Tiger Woods as the only players to win the Masters, PGA, U.S. Open, and the Open Championship.
Very good, David. Thanks so much for the update. 437-1620, 437-1620. If you have any kind of plumbing issues, leak, drip, weird sound on the wall when you flush the toilet, turn on the faucet. Those are not good things, but you do have the ability to get them fixed. Call Barberry Plumbing. Flat rate pricing by the job, not by the time it takes. 477-8782 for Barberry Plumbing. They can even fix the fix that you fixed that wasn't fixed. I've done that, and they helped. Somebody said, somebody who was in the Navy sent me a text and said, captain of the ship used to use a metaphor for us that driving a big ship was like pushing a shopping cart backwards. And now do it when the parking lot is iced over. Hey, now that we've had ice in Pensacola, we actually understand that metaphor. Maybe a little bit. Yeah, it's an amazing thing. Do not take it for granted. It's highly skilled.